Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, as many of you know, our study of Obadiah has taken us to Romans chapter 9. That's because one of the questions that one might have in studying the book of Obadiah, some would think of this, some would not, but one of the questions that some might have is, well, why does God judge Edom to the ultimate severity and only judge Israel to a lesser degree, and ultimately and finally shows great mercy to Israel and preserves and protects and sustains them even to this very present day, whereas on the other hand, in the case of Edom, he cuts them off so that they are no longer in existence. Why these different treatments of these two different nations when there doesn't seem to be any noticeable difference between the magnitude of their sins? They both seem to be equally sinful, and if there's a difference, it would almost seem that Israel is the more sinful of the two. So how do we explain this different treatment by God to these two nations, and indeed these different results that come to these two nations? And that takes us to Romans chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul takes up these very same questions, and he talks about Jacob and Esau and what God determined for them, and what God claims as the reason why there's a difference between these boys, and why it is that the one born second, the younger, turns out to be the favored and dominant one instead of the older one, as it normally is, and God says that's because I chose to do it that way. And through this whole section, God is declaring his right to make these kinds of decisions, because that's the right of sovereignty. That's the right of authority. That's the right of rulership. That's the prerogative of God. This is what makes God God, is his unrivaled, unquestioned, total authority to rule as he chooses. And if you don't understand God's authority that way, then you have, number one, you have lowered God, failed to give him full sovereignty. You have lowered his majesty, his being. But number two, you have misunderstood or misrepresented what God himself has declared about who he is and how he operates in this world. And so we find these things explained in Romans chapter 9, first by the explanation, or maybe I should say by the illustration of Jacob and Esau, and then secondly, by the illustration of Pharaoh in the days of Moses. And it is that second one that we are dealing with now, and we'll continue on that one on this Wednesday, June 17. We're glad you have joined us and thankful for those who support us. And here we are, verse 17, for the scripture says to the Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he, that is God, has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens." Now, that's a new element that's been introduced in relationship to Pharaoh that we didn't read earlier in relationship to Jacob and Esau. There's no mention there of hardening of anyone's heart. I'm not saying that it didn't occur, but I'm just saying that it's not mentioned. But it's specifically mentioned in relationship to Pharaoh. And so the question is, who hardened Pharaoh's hearts? And some people have wrestled with that. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Not hearts, heart. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? I remember a Bible student. This goes back many years ago, more than 40 years ago now, who really fixated on that question, and he combed through the chapters in Exodus and listed every mention of Pharaoh's hardened heart, and he classified it, well, this statement says God hardened it, and this statement says Pharaoh hardened it, and then there's a bunch of statements where it doesn't say who hardened it. And he's right. If you'll take all those statements, that's exactly what you'll find. The first one, the first time it's mentioned, God says, I will harden his heart. He tells Moses that's what's going to happen. And then on a number of occasions, it just says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It doesn't say who did it, but it's clear that it was an operation was performed on it by someone else. It was hardened. And then there are times when it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. So we know that in that case, he's responsible for it. In other cases, we know clearly that God is responsible for it. And in other cases, we know that someone outside of Pharaoh is responsible for it, and we're not told who, but of course the implication of those cases is that this is God. It just doesn't spell it out. But when it says, when God said in the beginning, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and then later on says Pharaoh's heart was hardened, what other conclusion could we legitimately draw? But this is just another occasion where God is doing what he said he was going to do. But if there were any question about it, after studying the many statements in the book of Exodus, and trying, I've seen some people actually try to weigh them. Well, let's see. There's more that say this than say the other. So, and what often is the goal is to try to find some way to avoid saying that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, or that God hardened it initially. There seems to be a great effort to make it clear that Pharaoh was the first one who hardened his heart, and so if God hardened his heart, it was only in response to Pharaoh hardening his heart. And I would simply suggest to you that that's taking things out of order. Again, go back. I'm not going to take you back to Exodus now, but go back and start at the beginning of that account where God sent Moses to Pharaoh, and the very first statement that says anything about Pharaoh's heart and read clearly that God says, I will do it. So if you take things in order, as stated in the scripture, you'd have to come to the conclusion that the initial hardener was God. Did Pharaoh harden his own heart? Yes. The Bible says so on some occasions. But the Bible also says that God will harden his heart. But I don't know that that's even the argument that we ought to be most concerned about, because when you come to Romans chapter 9, there's only one mention of anyone hardening Pharaoh's heart, and God said, I did it. In other words, in so many things in the Bible, there are more than one causes, there are more than one events, there are more than one factors that play in to it. For example, you can take the question, who is responsible for Christ's death upon the cross? And there are multiple answers to that question. You could make the case that Pilate is responsible. Well, you certainly can't absolve him of responsibility. He's the one who issued the official order. You can make the case that the religious Jews are responsible for the death of Jesus. And that certainly is true. There's no way you could absolve them of responsibility. You can make the case that the mobs in Israel, the general populace in Israel, that for whatever reason, certainly were instigated by the religious leaders, but for whatever reason, they cooperated with them and they cried out for his blood. Crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. You can make a legitimate case that they're the ones who are responsible for the death of Christ. But ultimately, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus died on the cross because God the Father willed it. Now, that doesn't make these other things not true, and it doesn't make them not significant. They're all significant in their own way and place, but If you want to get down to the bottom line, why was Jesus crucified? Because God the Father willed it, because the triune God agreed to it, because he is, as the Bible tells us, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. This was all determined even before the world was created. God takes responsibility for it, and Jesus agreed to it voluntarily and willingly. Now, there are a lot of secondary causes that brought about the actual event so that it occurred at the right time and place, and there are others who are responsible and bear their responsibility. But ultimately, and most importantly, it was God who determined the death of Jesus, and therefore it happened because God determined that it would happen. And I'd say the same thing is here in regard to Pharaoh's heart. You can go through all these different elements, but just go to Romans chapter 9 and see what it says. Verse 18, therefore he will have mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. That's talking about Pharaoh. You have to back up to verse 17, and it's talking about Pharaoh. God takes responsibility for hardening Pharaoh's heart. So if God hardened it, and again, the main point of God hardening Pharaoh's heart is so that he would not agree to let the children of Israel go prematurely. God determined that he was going to take Pharaoh and Egypt through all 10 of these plagues before the children of Israel would be let go. If Pharaoh's heart was not hardened, he might have caved in a lot earlier after the first plague or the second plague, said, go, go. But God hardened his heart so that he wouldn't. Now, does that mean that God made it impossible for Pharaoh to believe in God and to enjoy the salvation which God supplies? Well, no, it wouldn't be fair, it wouldn't be correct to say that God made it impossible for that. In the first place, this hardening doesn't really have to do with Pharaoh's salvation specifically, but the truth of the matter is, Pharaoh had no inclination toward God, toward truth, toward righteousness. That's really a different issue. There's nothing for us to believe that Pharaoh was interested in worshiping Jehovah or interested in the salvation which he bestows. It's not the first hint anywhere that Pharaoh had any such interest. But we are told that God made certain that Pharaoh wouldn't cave in to the pressure of these plagues prematurely. God's going to show his power. That's verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, to that end, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. God did it. Was he wrong in doing it? No. Whatever God does is right. The judge of all the earth cannot do anything but right. Was God wrong to do that? No. He had every right to do it. And Pharaoh was simply demonstrating the condition of his heart all along. But God sovereignly takes the responsibility for this hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Come back again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.